Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. It is time for our Odyssey NFL Insider, and on a Tuesday, Christmas Eve, Merry Christmas, everybody, and Merry Christmas to our next guest. He's our Odyssey NFL Insider. He is Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
I got excited. I almost said it with you. What's up, Ross?
How you doing, Rossi?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good, man. We got a little football coming up tomorrow. Quick turnaround for these Houston Texans. No rest for the weary. What are you thinking? How are we feeling? How should we be feeling about this?
Deontay Johnson character.
Yes. Let's start there. Yeah. Are you surprised the Texans picked up Deontay Johnson?
No, not really. I mean, it's kind of a desperate times call for desperate measures situation. Mm-hmm. You know, they realize they have a chance to try to make a run here in the postseason and win some games. And, you know, especially after what happened to Tank Dell, which is just horrible. And I know it stinks and I feel awful for him. You know, I think they realized they needed somebody other than Nico Collins that could win against man-to-man coverage. And Deontay Johnson could absolutely do that. Listen, they're not going to have him on the roster very long. I highly doubt he'd be there next year. So he's only there for a few games. They don't, you know, they're renting him. They're not buying him and everything that goes along with him. So all the locker room stuff or whatever it is that he's got going on, that will very likely be somebody else's issue. And actually I got to look it up, but if he gets a decent, since they're claiming him on waivers, if he gets a decent contract, you know, they might even get a comp pick out of that. That might be one you want to ask Casario about. Mm-hmm. But, I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's not surprising to me that the Chargers also tried to claim him, because I did the Chargers game on radio last week, and they're struggling a little bit, you know, at the receiver position other than Ladd McConkey. So, you know, they were thinking the same thing the Texans were, you know, like, hey, we're going to probably make the playoffs, the Chargers, very likely. We need another receiver that can help us, give us a chance to win some of these games, see how far we can go. So they try to get him too, which I think, you know, if you're a Texans fan, you should feel even better about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the Texans coming off this short turnaround against the Chiefs, I guess let's start there. What did you think about the Texans? After the game, Ross, it sounded like the Texans felt like, okay, well, we showed we can stand in and trade blows with the team with the best record in football. What were your takeaways from that game between the Texans and the Chiefs on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, they were right there for most of the game. But the only kind of flaw in my mind in that thinking is, like, that's kind of what everybody says after they play the Chiefs this year.
That's true. You know? That's a great point.
Hey, we were right there, man. Yeah. We were right there. One or two plays, we would have won. Like,
yeah,
but that's what everybody says, and then they still lose. So I don't know. You know, that's not unique to you. I don't know. I guess I'm just still a little disappointed by some of the mistakes that the Texans make, in particular CJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for them to go to have a legitimate chance at a playoff run, I just think he needs to play better than he has. He still does a lot of positive things, but I think it's hard to watch him this year and really feel like he's taken a big step forward from last year. And you guys know I'm not one of those people that puts everything on the quarterback and the head coach and blaming them at all. I do think they have a chance, you know, to win some playoff games, but, you know, he's going to have to go on a really nice run. He's going to have to really play well and, frankly, you know, play better than I think he has in a lot of these games this year.
Yeah, and Ross, and it's always tough when you're trying to dissect, okay, how much of this is an offensive coordinator's fault versus a quarterback's fault? And, yeah, there's clearly some things that CJ can do better. I think he has improved in some regards in playing the more – you know, take what the defense gives you style of football when that's what it dictates. He's learned by necessity that he has to do that. But with this offense, there's so many things that are poorly executed in pretty much every position group every week that it's really hard for me to think about moving forward with Bobby Slowik as the offensive coordinator next year. But I think most of us Texans fans are kind of resigned to, well, it doesn't feel like a change that D'Amico Ryans would make. What's your feel on that from an outside perspective?
Well, it's just fascinating because it's like last year he was the belle of the ball. You know, I mean, there was a lot of people that thought he was going to get, you know, some of these different head coaching opportunities that were out there. So it's a little bit stunning that we're even having this conversation. I do think that, you know, D'Amico Ryans will take a long, hard look at everything, and he should. I guess, you know, there's a lot of things that happened this year, right? The O-line issues, you know, Diggs getting hurt, now Tank getting hurt. And so I think even if you're not entirely pleased with Slowik, I think that's a really interesting conversation, whether you move on from him or keep him. Like, are you better off working through the issues with a guy so that Stroud can be in the same system in year three and really have that comfort level in year three? And I totally get it. I'm the one that said it doesn't feel like he's taking a step forward. So do you want to feel like he's – you know, has a chance to be even more comfortable in a system in year three? Or are you totally willing to just throw that out and say, we're better off starting from absolute scratch? That would be a tough one for me, to be honest.
I guess
I would have a tough time. I'd rather err on the side of letting Slowik and the coaching staff and CJ work through these issues than bringing in a guy with totally different terminology and all that stuff and having Stroud have to kind of start over and learn a whole new system. I just don't feel great about
it. You know what I am with that, Ross, is that there's so many offshoots of Kyle Shanahan's scheme in terms of just coaches and what have you, and Gary Kubiak to boot. And I know they're not all identical and the terminology is different from place to place, but I think there's just so many Kubiak / Shanahan coaches out there that maybe it becomes a matter of, all right, well, who's actually out there and available? Like, hypothetically, let's say Kevin Stefanski got fired. Would you rather have Kevin Stefanski or Bobby Slowick as your offensive coordinator?
It's a really interesting question, especially because, you know, I'm a big Stefanski fan, so I think you should strongly consider that, for sure. But I also think you have to be realistic with the fact that, you know, they were not successful at all this year in Cleveland with him calling the plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, I mean, that, let's put it this way. If you guys were on the radio in Cleveland right now, you'd be saying, well, we don't want Stefanski calling the plays. That was a disaster. So I think while change of scenery can help guys sometimes, I don't think Stefanski maybe merited that. Maybe you want to blame it all on Deshaun Watson. Gosh, I feel like we're coming full circle here. Maybe you want to blame it all on Deshaun Watson, but on some level, you know, you'd like to think that Stefanski would have been more successful than he was this year when Watson was out there, no matter how bad or good or whatever Watson is at this stage of his career. I understand what you're saying, though, Seth, about someone like that and someone that could use the same nomenclature, same sort of things. I don't think they would make a move, but you never know. If D'Amico Ryans really feels like, and I think you can argue for sure that the offense has regressed, you know, that would be a bold move, but, you know, sometimes it takes a bold move to kind of get to the next level, get where you want to go.
Ross Tucker's our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So, Ross, the Ravens come into town. I feel like the Ravens are the team where there's of the good teams, the biggest disparity between how scary they are and what their actual record is. They're not even leading their division right now because of tiebreakers against the Steelers. They've lost 5 games this year. Where are you on the Ravens? Where are they on the Ross Tucker power rankings right now?
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think they're the only – well, I just did my power rankings today for the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I think I had them maybe sixth, seventh. They are exactly what you just described, Sean. Exactly. They are the one team in the AFC that I can picture, even if they were a wild card, you know, even if they didn't win the division, they're the one team that I can kind of picture winning – you know, 3 straight games on the road to get to the playoffs. Like, Denver's not doing that. The Chargers aren't doing that. You know, I don't think the Texans are really capable of doing that. I don't even think the Steelers are capable of doing that. I mean, the only 3 teams in the AFC that I can picture you know, going to the Super Bowl are the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens. Mm-hmm. And so the Ravens, whether the wild card, they win the division or not, they are in that category for me.
Ross, are you in a hotel room right now?
No, I'm at my house. Why?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we were just trying to figure. It sounds a little bit echoey, so I didn't know if you were, like, in a hotel bathroom.
It sounded like you were pouring pills out or something like that.
Yeah, I did. I don't know. My doctor says I should do vitamin B12. I'm supposed to wait until after I eat, so I just had – I'm like, leaving for a while, so I have no food here, so I just had – I don't know, like granola and milk. I don't know. It was not great.
Right? Sounds delicious.
Before I started talking
yeah.
with you guys.
Vitamin milk and a vitamin B.
I'm doing the other game tomorrow. So here's the plan. Hopefully Santa comes tonight.
Mm.
And then we got to get up early and be done with the coal or hopefully presents that Santa brought by, I don't know, 7:30 at the latest. Because I got to drive 3 hours west to Pittsburgh because I'm doing Chiefs Steelers on the radio tomorrow. And then I thought about driving back to spend a little more time with my family tomorrow night, but they're leaving early to, Thursday morning. So I'm going to fly right from Pittsburgh to Boston. I don't know if you guys saw, but I'm doing Chargers Patriots NFL Network Saturday, which is really cool. It'll be the only game on. So standalone game. And obviously a lot of people will be rooting, I guess, for the Patriots, which is kind of awkward, but everybody needs the Chargers to lose. That's still like, the Dolphins fans, Bengals fans, Colts fans, they're like, only hope is that the Chargers lose.
Yep.
Ross, I know you were right up against it. Do you have like one extra minute?
I do, yeah.
Okay. So I'm sure you watched the Steelers Ravens game in preparation for this game. And I was really impressed with Russell Wilson for the first three quarters of that game versus the Ravens. I feel like people are, I don't want to say they're sleeping on the Steelers, but Russell Wilson without George Pickens has not been good until this last week. But then when they get George Pickens back and looking at the way Russell Wilson played against the Ravens, I feel like this might be just a very late surging team that can do more damage than maybe you might expect.
Well, he's made a couple plays look like Seattle, young Seattle Russell Wilson.
Yeah, yeah.
He also had a terrible pick six and a horrible fumble. That really was the difference in the game and cost them the chance to win the game, which was unfortunate. It does seem like they're getting Pickens back. He was listed as a full participant in practice yesterday. He is by far their most dynamic offensive weapon, their biggest threat, whatever word you want to use. I think he makes a significant, significant difference for them. So that'll be awesome. I'm a little surprised they're going to have him against the Chiefs. You know, it's weird to not play on Saturday, but then you do play on Wednesday. Whereas after this day, we get like 10 full days to make sure that hamstring's totally fine against a Bengals team that, you know, they would really need to beat. But I guess that's just for the division at that point, and they can't control. I mean, the Ravens play the Browns next week. So the Ravens have an awesome chance to win the division because the Steelers have two very losable games, whereas the Ravens are favored in both their games. So I'm a little bit surprised the Ravens are favored by as much as they are over the Texans. A little disrespectful of Houston in my mind.
What is it right now? Last I checked, it was 3. Has the line gone up?
Oh, no. It was 6. Now it's 5.5.
Are you serious? Oh, I must have checked. Okay, I checked early in the week, and it was 3. I haven't looked at it since, mostly to avert my eyes just because of I'm very nervous about this game.
Right now it's 5.5. The Ravens are laying 5.5 on the road. Total's 46. That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot for a road team on a short week against a
9-6 football team.
And a team that's played and a team whose defense has played very well at home this year. Like the Texans' defense has been elite at home for the most. Other than that Titans game, which was super weird, where they gave up a couple huge chunk plays to Will Levis. They against good teams, they've played well this year at home. The defense has.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that line. I mean, I don't even. What was the line for the Texans on the road in Kansas City? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm surprised by that. That just goes to show you some of the advanced statistics, the yards per play, and some of those things for the Ravens are really, really good.
Yep, no doubt. Ross Tucker's our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day Be delicious. Ross, Merry Christmas. Safe travels. We look forward to catching up with you next week, my man.
Likewise. See you guys.
All right, thanks. Ross Tucker joining us here. All right, so that
just one. Get those vitamin B6 levels up.
I just heard the rattling there. I'm like, ooh, he's popping pills on the air.
You thought he was just finishing up his night, just trying to keep it going. Let's keep the night going.
Yeah. Got to stay sharp. He's probably got like 7 more hits today that he's got to do with other radio stations. So that's the first I'd heard, and I Googled it too, what Ross had said about the Chargers putting in a claim on Deontay Johnson. So evidently, they were after the Texans in the waiver order. And I've actually found an article by Shireen Williams on Pro Football Talk that explains that the Texans, they've got the same record, the Chargers and the Texans. They're both 9-6, but Houston has a higher claim based on the aggregate winning percentage of their opponents. The Texans' opponents have a worse record than the Chargers. So the Texans are, you know, when you've played a lesser slate, you're higher up the order. So, you know, that's, and it's not by much. The Texans' opponents are 110 and 114. The Chargers' opponents are 114 and 110.
Good job, Chargers' opponents.
Good job, Chargers' opponents, getting those dubs so that we can get Deontay Johnson on this roster.
So, this is if the Texans can pull off the upset, it becomes really interesting in the final week of the season. Not for the Texans versus the Titans, but just to see how all the seeding shakes out. And, you know, everything else to where if the Texans have a chance to make the 3 seed.
If they have a chance to make the 3 seed, but it's a minuscule chance to make the 3 seed, do you play guys in week 18?
Oh, boy.
You're all this about the 3 seed.
Now, D'Amico will never admit to caring about it or anything, but I feel like that's the point where, D'Amico has to get involved in those discussions. Like, realistically, what are our chances of getting the 3 seed versus, all right, if it's a really minuscule chance, then we need to be ready for the playoffs. You got to let the probability factor into it at that point.
Well, and you know that the Texans and Titans, they haven't determined the kickoff times yet for week 18. You know they're going to be a noon kick. So you don't know what, like, they're going to have to play without knowing probably, because I'm guessing they'll throw, the Steelers and Ravens might be later in the day.
Games are going to be later.
Yeah.
I wonder if, or at the same time, obviously. That's about, you're not going to have an idea of it going into the game when you're determining who your starters are.
Right.
That's where it gets interesting. Yeah, or even if all of a sudden, if a relevant team takes a big lead or something, do you start changing your strategy then? I'm not opposed to it at all in a scenario like that. Right now, though, depending on which model you're looking at, the Texans have about a 25% chance of getting the 3 seed. That's enough for me because if you want to win a divisional game the way the Texans have played this year, you got to have home field advantage. Your best chance is for that pass rush to get humming with the home field advantage and all the crowd noise. They've managed to turn some really good quarterbacks into bad quarterbacks at home. So, 25% is plenty for me to just keep going for it.
Now, with the 3 seed, just for those who are wondering, the Texans would need the Bills. In the way the standings are set up right now, they would need the Bills to get upset by the 7 seed in order to get that home game. But it could happen. It could happen. Who do you trust to go up to Buffalo and beat the Bills among that? That would be great if the Ravens got the 7 seed.
Well, I would trust the Ravens to do it. Yeah. That'd be really nice.
The Broncos and the Chargers, not so much.
Yeah.
Rookie quarterback going up there in Bo Nix. And then the Chargers, with Harbaugh as the coach, you never know. But just the general feel of the Chargers going up to Buffalo to play in the cold.
And the Broncos defense has shown just some vulnerability as of late. Yeah. It's still a very good defense, but I don't think they're capable of this year making that run with their defense.
Yeah, there's a 70% chance that the Texans are going to play whoever's left over from the AFC North tussle between the Ravens. It's like a 36% chance they're going to play the Ravens in the first round as of right now, computers, and a 34% chance they play the Steelers. So that's kind of the collision course that the Texans are on right now.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy 2 and get 3 free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.